Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up the will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast. And thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. Steps to Christ, page 47, paragraph 1, page 48, paragraph 2. I am grateful to God, as I always am, for this holy and blessed privilege to speak for Him, to declare the words of life to those who love to listen to the Word of God. And I refer to those of you who are listening. Thank you very much for your interest in God's Word, for your love for God's Word, and may I say for your love for truth. In His high priestly prayer, Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Nothing but the word of God, which is truth, can sanctify a person. However sincerely a person practices error, that error cannot have a sanctifying effect, because Jesus identifies the instrument of sanctification, and that is the Word of God, which Jesus declares to be spirit and life. Thank you very much again for joining us. As always, I welcome in a very special way all non-Seventh-day Adventists who are listening, our guests, our visitors. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us, and may God bless you superabundantly for taking this time to fellowship with us. And may He place a double blessing on your children. Wherever you are across this globe connecting to this program, may God bless you, all the organizations that have come together to make this possible. God has seen, and God will bless you for your efforts in behalf of His kingdom. Our subject for today, before I give the subject for today, let me say a word for those who are treating the COVID-19 virus, coronavirus. May God protect you, the doctors, the nurses, the emergency workers. May God protect you from harm and danger. Anyone on the front lines of fighting this virus, thank you for your work. And I mean that sincerely. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you and protect you. And may He use you that you may continue to be a blessing to others. Our subject for today, the cause of death. The cause of death. Before I go any further, please, while I'm speaking, pray for me. If I were in a church building now, I might ask, how many of you have prayed for me since Sunday? And then I would look at the show of hands, but I cannot do that now. But I have to accept by faith that some of you have been praying for me. Thank you for that. And for those of you who have not yet prayed for this speaker, please do that now. While I'm speaking during the message, just say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That earnest and serious request is based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Favor number two, think as you listen. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. God calls upon us to use our minds, our intelligence, our reasoning power, under the guidance, of course, of the Holy Spirit. Think. And favor number three, if you do not need a phone where you are, turn it off and pick up a physical Bible. Feel those pages. Break your dependence on that piece, that gadget that rules so many of our lives. Break your dependence on it. Open a Bible, a physical Bible. Let the pages run through your fingers and follow along with the message. Before I pray, let me say one other thing. You're probably wondering, what am I wearing? This is called a barong. It is the official wear for men in the Philippines, one of my favorite countries on the face of the earth. And so I thought I would wear it since I am addressing an international audience. I thought I'd just make that explanation. Let's pray now. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your stubborn love, your elastic love that stretches all around the world, all around the universe, and includes us. Dear God, your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Father, thank you for that gift that no one can measure. Our value to you can be seen only as we look at Christ on Calvary's cross. And that's the value you place on every individual listening to this program. We thank you. If we have sinned against you, forgive us. More particularly, if I have sinned against you, forgive me, God, and make me a clean vessel through which you do your work of proclaiming the words of life. Bless everyone listening. A very special blessing on the children, and a sweet blessing on all our non-Adventist guests who have joined us. I pray, as always, Father, for all nations represented by the listening audience. Bless the leaders, dear God. Guide their thinking, guide their minds, guide their decision making. Even though we may not understand why they do what they do, help us to believe there is a superior power, that's you, Father, who has everything under control according to his will, and you are moving things in the direction that you desire. That's why we must live by faith, because we don't always understand. Now, dear God, put your words in my mouth. Wherever others are engaging in online preaching now, possess their minds with your spirit and speak through them powerfully, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Our subject, the cause of death. John 5, we read from verse 1. John 5, reading from verse 1. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he which was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Now, verse 14, look at it microscopically. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. By the way, in chapter 8 of the same book of John, Jesus said a similar thing to a woman. The woman caught in adultery, he said, sin no more. And so he said it to male and female, because sin is a problem of humanity, not of any particular gender or race or class. He said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. And we must believe that wholeness wasn't just a physical wholeness, it was spiritual wholeness, because our major problem is not physical sickness, it is spiritual sickness. Someone with high blood pressure who's a child of God can be saved. Someone with spiritual illness, unconfessed, cannot be saved. So the major crisis is not physical illness, even though that is not God's will for us. The problem is spiritual sickness. And so Jesus said to the man, behold, thou art made whole. Then he tells him, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Let me pray again before I proceed. Father in heaven, continue to tell me precisely what to say, God. Help me to speak with humility, for I too am a sinner. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In these words, John 5 verse 14, Jesus is actually declaring that the cause of sickness is sin. And I pause for you to digest that. Now, what I just said is not what a medical doctor will say on the ward. And he shouldn't or she shouldn't, however Christian that person may be. But from a biblical perspective, and the child of God, his or her feet rest upon the foundation of biblical truth. The cause of sickness is sin. It may not be a sin the patient has committed. It may simply be living in a sinful world. However you view it, the cause of sickness is sin. I have said before, and I'll say it now, people do not die of cancer. They die because of sin. And if you pause a while, you'll understand what I'm trying to say. Yes, yes, yes. Physically, the doctor says cancer of the liver, cancer. My brother died of some form of cancer many years ago. We understand that physically, but at a deeper level that affects the soul and the eternal destiny, we must understand people die because of sin. Genesis 2, we'll read from verse 16. Genesis 2, reading from verse 16, our subject, the cause of death. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayst freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Here we have the introduction of death as the penalty for sin. Is this expressed anywhere else in the Bible? Yes. Ezekiel 18 verse 4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel 18 verse 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6 23, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 5 verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It is because of sin that people die. The book of Jude, just before Revelation, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, given themselves unto fornication, and going after strange flesh, as set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, they were destroyed because of sin. Let me say it one more time. Death is the result of sin. Sickness is the result of sin. Let me extend the list. War is the result of sin. This goes all the way back to heaven. Revelation 12, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Wars began in heaven because an individual made by God called Lucifer sinned. And we know he sinned because the Bible tells us that. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Because of that sin, war broke out. Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Wars continue on the earth. Matthew 24, verse 7, nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. In verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. All of these flow from one thing, sin. Why am I stressing this almost to the point of irritating the listeners? The Christian must do all he or she can to ease the suffering of the sick, to provide for the homeless, those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who perhaps have been rejected by family and they're isolated. The Christian, the child of God, must do what Jesus did. But remember, Jesus did not come to die because people were homeless. He did not come to die because someone did not get a degree from the university of wherever, Slough. He came to die because of sin. And so while we do all we can to ease physical suffering, the church has a moral responsibility to inform the world. When I say the church, I can only speak for mine. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a moral, theological, heavily imposed responsibility to let the world know with compassion but directness that the problems in the world are not the result of bad governmental practices or policies. They result from sin. It is of little consequence to sin's outworking who is in charge of England or Scotland or the United States or Japan or China or North and South Korea or the Central African Republic. It makes no difference who's in charge as long as there is something in the world called sin. That country will have problems. What am I trying to get into your heads? Any responsible medical professional treating illness will try to get at the cause of the illness, not just treat the symptom as so many drugs tend to do. That's what the experts say. Honest experts say drugs don't cure, they just manage symptoms. Well, the symptom is not the problem. It is merely an outward expression of a fundamental problem. A responsible doctor who works in harmony with the Hippocratic oath to do his patients no harm will try to get at the fact, what is the reason for your high blood pressure? Not here's a pill to maintain it. What's the reason? You need to exercise, you're overweight. You need to cut down on meat or cut it out. You need more fruits and vegetables. Get at the cause. What is the cause of problems in the world today? Sin. If sin is removed, coronavirus ceases to exist immediately. The Middle East will become a place of peace. No more wars. No more floods. No more nature out of control. No more police departments. No more armies. No more drought. No more flood. No more disobedient children. No more abusive spouses. No more robberies. No more locks on doors and cars. And none of that. Why? Because the cause of all of that is gone. And that cause is sin. Let me explain what I mean as I continue the cause of death. Let me pray. Father in heaven, the person preaching is weak. Give me strength from above that I may represent the truth which is represent you aright. In mercy, enlighten the minds of those listening, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 2, verse 16, 17 again. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayst freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's all God said. He never said thou shalt get sick, but sickness came. He never said thou shalt have wars, but wars came. He never said thou shalt have painful childbirth, but that came. He never said thou shalt have to work hard for thy bread, but that happened. He never said, thou shalt have floods, but they happened. All he said was, death will come. Which means, all human sufferings are expressions of a dying world. Where is the environmental destruction for which we are responsible? I was listening to a documentary a few days ago, and I was shocked to learn that many, many rivers have been destroyed. They cease to flow because the waters have been, dams have been built, destroying the rivers. And the weight of waters in dams is so heavy that the ground beneath is sinking. I was quietly surprised, shocked, stunned to learn that the weight of trapped water is so heavy that the ground beneath is sinking. We know the destruction to the ozone layer. We know the destruction of the rainforest that provides so much oxygen. We know all these things, the cutting down of this, the destruction, the way oil is produced, all of this, the environmental destruction and ruin. Why did that begin? Sin. Go back to Genesis 3. What came in because of sin? Shame. If you read verse 25 of Genesis 2, the Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. There was no shame before sin. There was no embarrassment before sin. But you look at verse 7 of chapter 3 of Genesis, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They are aware. Now they experience shame, embarrassment, disgrace. That is the result of sin. And God came down to the garden in verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Fear is the result of sin. Hopelessness. Not just the wars, the physical calamities, but the emotional, the psychological terrors that ruin life. Everything flows from sin. Then surely, if nothing else but common sense should compel you and me to conclude, the only permanent, effective solution for this suffering world is the removal of sin. There isn't a living Christian who is a Christian who can disagree with that. Not because I said it, because it's a biblical teaching. Let me repeat. The only permanent, effective, lasting solution to the problems of this world is the eradication of sin. Let's personalize that. Not just sin in the world, sin in my life. Permit me with respect to say sin in yours. Because when God created humanity, he did not make 8 billion people. He made them one by one. And we stand in the judgment one by one. We were convicted by God's Holy Spirit individually. And so as you listen, you must not imagine, let me go tell my government that they're sinners in the cabinet. No, 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 no. You look at yourself as I look at me. How am I contributing to this cesspool of sin that is the world? What is my contribution? Because by the elimination of my contribution, it may eliminate some problems in the area where I live, the area where I have influence. What is my individual contribution? Is there something in me that needs to be removed that is making a contribution to the problems in the world? My listening friend, there's something called the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is not popularly preached, but it is perhaps one of the most frequently mentioned doctrines in the Bible, particularly the New Testament. The second coming of Jesus Christ. And he's coming to destroy the world of sin and to establish a new world free from sin. And so Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:13, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, at the end of verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, the Bible says, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, destruction is reserved for everything that is unlike God. Let me say it again. Whatever is burned up wasn't good. It's a safe conclusion. Whatever is burned up when Christ destroys this earth, we may conclude was not good. And so the second part of the last part of verse 10 of 2 Peter 3 says, the earth also and the works that are therein. What are the works that are therein that shall be burned up? They will not survive the fire and will have no reproduction in the new world. And Peter contrasts the works of this old sinful world with righteousness in verse 17. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. In the new world, the lifestyle will be righteousness, as in opposition to the lifestyle of this world described in verse 10, which God will destroy by fire. Not only the works, but the very physical earth itself is infected by sin. By the way, let me move away from the world to the individual. Every cell in your body and mine is affected by sin. Every nerve fiber is affected by sin. I don't want to be harsh, but let me be truthful. This is why we have babies born with certain conditions. Something is wrong at the very genetic level of humanity. And the reason for that is sin. Now, some scientists listening to me will say, this man needs medication. I don't need medication. I'm giving you Bible truth. Why would I say that? Let's go back to Genesis 3. But before we do, let me pray. Father in heaven, let my words be seasoned always with salt, but also be plain and direct. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When God said in verse 17 of Genesis 2, thou shalt surely die, I told you earlier, he did not say thou shalt have wars and sickness and plagues and famine, droughts, avalanches, tsunamis and hurricanes and typhoons. He did not say that, but they all are a part of this life. But if you go, I said, if you look at verse 7 and verse 8, they experience shame, fear, embarrassment. If you look at verse 16 of Genesis 3, God says you will have painful childbirth in sorrow. That is the result of sin. Look at verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Curses only occur where sin is present. The entire earth was cursed by God. Why? Because of sin. We live on an earth cursed because of sin. But always remember, a cross was implanted on this cursed earth to give hope to those of us living on the cursed earth. Let me repeat that. A cross was implanted, not just above, right on the cursed earth to give hope and rescue for those living on this cursed earth. And so cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Work will be hard. Some of us work 2-3 jobs to do this and to do that. The result is sin. Work was to be a joy, a pleasure, not a source of suffering. Most people go to jobs they do not like, but they have to pay the rent. They have to find tuition. They have to buy groceries, but they don't like what they do. The result of sin. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. People will work, they collapse on the beds at night because of hard work. Till thou return to the ground, verse 19, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So we have, of course, death repeated. But if you look at verse 18 of Genesis 3, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee. Because of sin, you've got to be careful how you pluck a rose from a rose bush, because it has thorns. It did not have thorns before sin. I'm saying this to back up the fact that I said sin has affected the cellular structure. It has affected the genetic structure of all living things. That's the world's problem. Let me broaden that statement. That is the problem of the universe, because sin began in heaven, came down to the earth when Adam and Eve listened to the enemy. Sin has infected the mind. That is why we need the guidance of the Spirit of God, even when reading the Bible, when studying, because without the Spirit's guidance, this mind given to us by God for his glory will lead us to say there is no God. The cause of death, sin. Sin has no benefit. I'll say it again. No matter how the carnal mind may deceive us, because the carnal mind gives us a sinful view, sin has no benefit. One of the dangerous things about sin, it does not look sinful. one of the functions of the law is to expose very sinful, not that there's sin, but it is extremely toxic. The toxicity of sin is not immediate and apparent unless the eyes of someone is opened or are opened by the Spirit-filled Word of God. The problem, the cause of death, is sin. Jesus came to demonstrate to us that even though we are living on a world cursed because of sin, before I get into that, let me just take you back to Genesis. When God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, God was referring to one sin. One. Do you realize Christ had to come and die because of one sin? That, if nothing else, should reveal to us the very horrible nature of sin, that one. And it wasn't murder, the horrible sin that caused people to go to the electric chair or spend the rest of their lives in prison. It was simply eating a fruit, but God said, do not eat it. It was that small and simple. But any act contrary to God's express will have catastrophic consequences, either immediately or eventually. Christ had to die because of one sin. If no other sins had been committed after Adam's sin, he would still have to come and die. The Son of God, equal with God, came to die because of one sin. That is why he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The instant Adam sinned, Christ became a Savior. He became the sacrifice that would take the place of sinners who accept that sacrifice by faith and allow that tremendous exchange to take place. He takes our sins, we take our righteousness. Christ came to provide a way out. And so I go back to Calvary. Jesus came. Here was his mission. Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Both from the act of sin and from the power of sin that pushes us to commit these acts. We'll be saved from both. Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Combine Matthew 1:23 with Matthew 1:21 and there's something astonishing. Matthew 1:21 says, he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:23 says, this person is God in the flesh, which means the only power that can deliver us from sin is the very power of God. Which gives us a window into the terrible nature of sin, regardless of its size. Matthew 1:21, he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:23, his name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Only someone who is fully God, who possesses divine power, can deliver a person from sin. This is a statement about the terrible nature of sin. Only God can deliver you and me. And this world's problem, fundamentally, the bedrock problem of the world at large and every individual, is sin. And so our subject, the cause of death, is sin. Sickness is merely an expression of sin, but the cause of death is sin. And the only lasting, permanent, effective solution for this world is the coming of Christ to get rid of sin. Let's say the UK has a problem, and that problem is solved, another problem will take its place. Or you relocate that problem to some other geographical location. That's the way we handle problems on the earth. You solve one, another one pops up. Let's say we get rid of coronavirus, something else comes. We have Spanish flu in the first part of the 20th century. We have bird flu. We have Zika virus. We had Ebola. Now we have coronavirus. If this one is taken care of, something else will come. That's how sin functions. It re-emerges in different forms and fashions. As people like to say, it reinvents itself. But when Christ comes to take care of sin, sin will be done away forever, and it will never, ever return. I must believe you want to be part of that experience. When Christ comes, Now, Christ isn't coming to deliver us from sin. He's doing that now. He's coming to deliver us from a sinful environment. But he's delivering us from sin now when we surrender ourselves to him. And so he says to you and to me in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My listening friend, I speak to you myself. The only rest you and I need is the rest from the burden of sin. Come unto me, all ye that labor, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, you name it, rich, poor, educated, uneducated, whatever the description is, Jesus said, come unto me all. There's nothing in the world that's so effective in putting us on level ground as this thing called sin. And there's nothing so effective as putting us on another level ground, and that thing is righteousness available only through Christ. The cause of death? Sin. Everything else, whether it's flood, war, sickness, disease, famines, floods, are expressions of that fundamental problem. And so I ask you as they ask me, let us not make contributions to the condition of the world, but let wherever we are be a little oasis where those who come into our fellowship may find rest and respite. Let us get rid of that thing which is called sin. Do we become saints overnight? No. No one becomes a demon overnight either. But at least we can begin with a determination. Remember the words I spoke at the beginning of the message from Steps to Christ, page 47, paragraph 1 and 2. I didn't quote paragraph 2, but let me give you paragraph 2 now. Many hope and desire to be Christians, but do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose. What is the author saying? Make a choice. Choose now to read God's word. Choose now to repent. Choose now by the power of God to do what is right in the sight of God. Choose not to contribute to the conditions of the world by sin, but to so live your life that your life, wherever you are, becomes a little oasis of respite from a world suffering from the withering heat of sin. The cause of death is sin. Christ is coming back to take those who have given their lives to him out of this sinful world. He'll remake it. He'll put us back on this earth remade. And the description of that new world is 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. You cannot buy your way out of sin. You cannot bribe God or the devil. It is either you surrender to Christ or you surrender to the enemy. My plea, my appeal, surrender to Christ. Christ in you will be your immunization against the coronavirus of sin. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It's straight, it's direct, it's clear. I ask in the name of Jesus, Father, that the spirit that inspired the men to write your word will move upon the hearts of those who heard this message. Let us all see, God, our great danger is not the particular political party in power. Our greatest danger is sin. Fill our hearts with hatred for sin. It is the very first promise of the Bible, Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. It describes the heart of Jesus, Hebrews 1:9, thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Give us that mind, I pray. Bless all those who listen, Father. A particular blessing on the children, a lovely blessing on all our guests. May we leave this program today determined to be people in whom the grace of God is seen, those who will do everything by the power of Christ not to contribute to the sin of this world, and hasten your coming, dear God, when the sin which is the fundamental problem of this world, when the cause of death shall be finally and irreversibly obliterated, we pray from our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor, once again, thank you this evening.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We thank God for that message. Pastor, today we have no questions, but we have got two prayer requests, which
yes.
are appropriate given that is the week of prayer. We have got our brother Simpala Raphael.
Spell the first name. Spell the first name.
S-E-M-P-A-L-A.
Simpala, and the last name is
Raphael. Raphael, yes. And he's COVID-19 positive.
Oh,
and he's asking for our prayers. We have
all
got
right.
another prayer for our countries in Mumbai and Pune, A-U-N-E.
Pune,
mm-hmm. yes, which mm-hmm. are affected by a cyclone. So we pray for them.
By a cyclone, you said?
Yes.
Okay. So we yes. pray for Simpala, Raphael, mm-hmm. and Pune and Mumbai, both places I have had the honor of visiting and preaching in. So let's bow our heads now and pray. Father, we present to you Brother Raphael Simpala. He has tested positive for COVID-19. Dear God in heaven, Jesus is the source of health, physical and spiritual. Your merciful God, Father, we present to you Brother Raphael Simpala. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch his body. Cancel this virus, dear God. Deliver him from it, we pray, please. For your glory first, that through his recovery, men and women around him may realize there is a God who cares. There's a God of mercy. Touch Brother Simpala Raphael, their father, and heal him, deliver him from this virus for your glory first, dear God. Remember those in Pune and Mumbai affected by natural disaster. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, be merciful to them, beginning with members of the household of faith, but extending your mercy to all, because the Bible says, he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So pour out your mercy upon those in Mumbai and Pune, for whom Jesus shed his blood. One more time, dear God, be merciful to Simpala Raphael, Father. Cast out this virus from him and restore him to health. And may his expression of gratitude be a recommitting of his life to you. And be merciful to your people in Pune and Mumbai and any other place in the world suffering from natural disaster, Father. And beside Brother Simpala, any other member of the household of faith who has contracted this disease, God, touch them and deliver them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.